World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. Good morning. The heavens opened up here in Ohio last night. My goodness, it rained like five different times, like I've never seen it rain. I mean, it was one of those you couldn't even see rains. And then it would stop, and you'd think, wow, finally, woo, and then here come another one, like five times. And as a result, I'm floating almost in my multimillion-dollar studio here in because I was trying to explain to people, I don't know if this has ever happened at where you live, the rain was so strong that the gutters overflowed. And when the gutters overflowed, you walk outside and it looks like a spigot's on in the gutters. It's just coming over, just over the gutters. Well, then it runs down on the ground into the foundation of my house, into my basement. So my wife prayed today that I wouldn't get electrocuted. I got fans running here. We're cleaning it up. We're going to be okay. But there goes that multi-million-dollar carpet and that multi-million-dollar shoes that I wear. And all. Anyway. It's a blessing, and both a blessing and a cursing. A lot of things. I always say, Coach, what are you talking about? This show, it's both a blessing and a cursing. I get up this morning. I am not complaining. I'm explaining. I get up this morning and I go to my email. And you wouldn't believe the number of links that people have sent me. And I'm glad you do. Thank you. I'm glad you do. But I open a link. I say, wow, that's great. That's interesting. Open another link. Wow, that's really interesting. Open another link. Wow, that's really. I'm not making it up. 1,000 different things that we could be discussing this morning. And one of my great frustrations is, what do you want to talk about? I pick the topics for the most part. What do you want to talk about? My wife, my rib, she says, you say the same thing every day. And I do. And I do because, again, I want to say it over and over and over. I think I'm going to die before I'm raptured. I think that about me. I think I'm going to die before I'm raptured. The scripture says, work while the sun shines, because the day cometh when no man can work. That's for all of us. So, sometimes we're going to die. If you believe in the rapture, some are going to be raptured. But the reality of it is, most of us are probably going to die before we're raptured. Would you guys, anybody want to argue that? And if I sit around and I'm saying, well, I'm not going to worry about that. It's like I'm getting ready to sell my house. I don't clean it up. I'll let somebody else clean it up. By the way, let me throw this out there. This is a remarkable thing. We had a couple that came to the, without going into a whole lot of detail, who came to the event last weekend, the annual huddle. I'd never met them before. Carmen and Al brought them, and Hispanic couple living in a van down by the river. I'm not making it up. They'd adopted. Maybe I'll get them on. They'd adopted 6, 8 children, and they were living in a camper. They're not poor. They have money, but they couldn't find a place to buy. Anyway, great news. They bought a house yesterday. That's fruit of Coach Dave Live. We made some connections. Anybody know anything about this? Boom, they're moving into a house. So anyway, let me back up. Because part of the problem is, it's not always a topic that you enjoy. It's not always something you're interested in. Or, here's a better one. It's a topic that makes you mad because that's not what Pastor Billy Bob told you. And you've been faithful to Pastor Billy Bob for 30 years, and Pastor Billy Bob's never lied to you before. Well, no, he's not lying to you. He's misinterpreting. Who told you that? Why do you believe it? I'm going to move on here. Okay. I got some good stuff. Craig's got something good. He wants to throw up in the scripture. We're really, something's going on. You know, do you feel it? Do you really feel it? Have you guys been following it all? Excuse me. How much evidence is really coming out about the stolen election? Who really, really is involved with it? How deep it is? And how long it's really been going on? And of course, I sit here and scratch my head and say, well, of course, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Why would that surprise us? Or how about Psalm 2? Why the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. It tells us right there in Psalm 2 what's going on. Why are we surprised by it? Why do we think that we can elect non-Christians to office and they'll do Christian things? Why do we think that? And why is it that the American church, I'm sorry if you hear the background, got a fan running. Why is it the American church thinks that we can win the battle by withdrawing? We withdraw. We leave the field. We leave the field. Now, where my coaching career, they told us that was a forfeit. Spencer, pull that up. Webster, forfeit. Forfeit. And I'm going to posit to you today, as I always do, my wife, I love my wife, says you always say the same thing. We forfeit. The American church forfeits. It's to lose or render confiscable. Wow. By some fault, offense, or crime, to lose the right to some species of property or that which belongs to one. For instance, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the church has forfeited its right to be the moral standard in America. Okay, we forfeited that right. Forfeited. It was like we didn't show up and play the game. That's my greatest concern or greatest focus or whatever you want to say. We shouldn't be losing, and we are. Greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. The great commission, go, bring the kingdom of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thine, thy kingdom come. Go bring his kingdom, establish it here on earth. And for the most part, the church does not do that. They don't believe that. The church has bought into escapism. I'm not going to camp here long. I got to purge this before I get into what we're going to get into here, right? If the Christians don't make the laws, who does? Let me pause there a second. If the Christians don't make the laws, who does? They lie to us, tell us there's a separation between the church and state, as if that means there's a separation between morality and state. As if, by the way, couldn't you, and anybody ever go to court? Can you imagine going into a court after you had raped somebody or murdered somebody or done drunk driving and killed somebody? Can you imagine going to the courtroom and the case being presented and then saying to the judge, Your Honor, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, Your Honor? Yeah, that would be ridiculous. They'd drag you out of court, right? If they tell Christians tell other Christians, who are you to judge? We shouldn't judge. Judge, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. Find that one, Spencer. Pull it up there real quick. Judge not, lest you be judged. It doesn't say judge not. It says judge, be careful, because you're going to be judged by the same standard. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's in Matthew, I think. Oh, there it is. Look at that. Matthew 7. What? Yeah. Judge not, that you be not judged. Are Christians not to judge? For with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. And with what measure you meet, they're going to use that against you. So be careful. Who said murder is wrong? I don't agree with that. I ain't following that. That's judgmental, right? It's stupid. Folks, it is stupidity. It is stupidity. Christians are stupid. And why do you behold the mote that's in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? Watch this. Well, how are you going to say to your brother, hey, let me get that out of your eye. Let me get that mote out of your eye there, brother. And you got a big beam in yours. You hypocrite. First, cast out the beam in your own eye. And then go judge your brother. So when you stop at the very first phrase, judge not lest you be judged, you lose all focus of what Christianity is all about. Because Christianity is about judgment. At the end of the day, you are going to stand, I am going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Jesus is going to judge us by the things that are written in the books. And our job is not to judge people, but to go tell them, dude, you're guilty. Yeah, you're guilty. You're gonna answer for that, dude. You're guilty. And then they say, well, who are you judging? I said, well, I'm not judging. I'm presenting evidence. I'm a witness. I'm witnessing to you that if you keep doing that, when you stand before the judge, you ain't going to have nothing to say. Or as Flip Wilson would say, here come the judge, here come the judge, here come the judge. And it's always amazing to me that the most judgmental people of all are the ones who tell you not to judge. Okay, I'm on a rant here today, okay? You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to judge the mote in your brother's eye. And all judgments left the church. It's left the church. I'm okay, you're okay, God's okay, Jesus is okay, everybody's okay. We're all just okay here, right? Ooh, catch my breath there. Let me look at my note real quick for you. Craig's got something he wants to present to us today. I didn't mean it to sound that way. Craig sent me something this morning. And again, I said something to Craig. I said something to Betty. Betty sent me a lot of really, really good stuff. I get up at 5:30 and I begin to do research and try to formulate what's going on. And sometimes you send guys send me the best possible stuff and I got to figure out how do I plug that in? How do I plug that in? How do I make that relevant? So just bear with me. If you send me stuff, doesn't mean I didn't read it or it doesn't matter. It means, where do I plug it in? Where do I plug it in? Okay, so hang on here. Let me click on this thing. Let's click on this one here. Whoops. I got two of them. Thanks, Spencer. Okay. let me pull up number one, then I'm going to bring Craig in here, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. I don't think that's what I want. Number one. Is the spirit realm real? Is it real? Are demons real? Is the devil real? Is the Holy Spirit real? Are angels real? Are angels just like Santa Claus? Just something we make up in our minds, just a little statue we put on our shelf and beside our bed. Are they real? And if they're real, then why don't we act like it? Why don't we recognize it that they're real? And if they are real, why don't we do something about it? So I came across this morning. Let me just throw this up there. This is from Joe Horn. Entities. See? Let me plant a seed. I'm not trying to be critical. When's the last time, for those of you who go to church, when's the last time you went to church and had an exhaustive study of the dark spiritual world? Explain to you how they operate, where they come from, how we fight against them. Are you trained in spiritual warfare? Have they even mentioned it in your church? Is it possible that Craig's going to get into a little bit here, I think, here. Principalities and powers. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You believe the Bible? Huh? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. What does all that mean? Is it what Paul, I think, wrote that? Was he drunk that day? It's the essence of Christianity. It's the essence of the war that's playing out in front of us in this natural realm. There are spiritual, dark spiritual entities. If you'd have been here last week and gone with Fritz Zimmerman, he'd have shown you the portals. Huh? There's an invisible world around us. Invisible world. Just as real as the one we're sitting in. Bible calls them dimensions, or science calls them dimensions. Huh? Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, knowing that, I'm talking to the Trump haters out there. They're entities. Psalm 2. Pull up Psalm 2 real quick. They're entities. Evil spirits. Evil spirits. Why the heathen rage, the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth set themselves. Hey, friends, they're not talking about elected kings. Although they could be. But chances are many of the elected kings, those who are in positions of authority, are in positions of authority because, what? They're demonically controlled. We know they cheated in an election now. We know that, huh? No doubt they cheated in an election. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Are you anointed? Well, he's against you. He's against you. The weapons of our warfare. Let us break the bands asunder. Cast away the cords. Wait, who are the cords connected to? Come on now. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the Lord, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Somebody's controlling you. Somebody's controlling them. Everything's going on down here. We know who that is, right? Because he sits in the heavens laughing at him. Yeah, he knows our days are numbered. Remember, no time outside this realm. Okay, coach, okay. Go ahead, Joe Horn. Evil nations and spirits crossing borders. What if there are, in fact, principalities? What if there is a principality in power over Iran? A spiritual demonic force. What if there's a dark spiritual force over America? What if the battle going on in America isn't political, Republican good, Democrat bad? That isn't what it is. It's about the influence of demonic spirits. We don't even believe in it anymore. We go watch movies about it, but we don't believe it. The White House. What's going on in the White House? Are there evil spirits controlling Donald Trump? Or are there evil spirits controlling his advisors? Huh? We don't even, the average Christian doesn't even consider that might be a possibility. They hate Trump. Well, maybe he's under control of an evil spirit. Could that be? Could that be? I don't know. What does Joe Horn say about it? Go ahead.
The spirit realm, Micah, these princes that you describe, both in the book and, of course, in your DVDs that we're going to talk about here in just a minute, do you feel that these entities, if I can use that word, are still influencing nations today?
Yes, sir. And so in Deuteronomy 32:9, we see that God puts them over nations. And as I speculate, Scripture doesn't specifically say this, but I speculate that they are physical for a time, but their bodies die. There is a dark period in Scripture where Scripture doesn't give us any information from the time of Babel to the time of Abraham. Depending on your translation, 800 years, 600 years, somewhere in there. This is the time of the angelic rulers of the nations. The only thing Scripture says is in the Peleg's days, the world was divided. That's it for those 800 years. And so this is a time we don't have a lot of information about. But after these entities die, no longer are they the physical kings sitting on thrones, siring more Nephilim after the flood. Again, another speculation on my part. But they become the spiritual princes of the nations, and they follow their bloodlines wherever they go. Let's look at what's going on. Who was the god of the Philistines? Dagon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where were the Philistines located? In what is modern day?
Gaza.
Gaza. And so we are still seeing Dagon's evil influence as a principality of the power of the air, influencing the people of Gaza. And so I do believe, as Sharon alluded to earlier, might have mentioned, that every nation on earth has an entity over it. Israel has Yahweh, where Archangel Michael is the chief prince, according to Daniel chapter 12. You get not just the Middle East, where all this is mostly recorded. You get Quetzalcoatl in Mexico, all kinds of different gods around the world that come down, bring divine fire, in the case of Prometheus and Quetzalcoatl, different things going on. So, yeah, absolutely, all over the world, these gods are still influencing.
That raises an interesting question. With the massive migrations that have taken place over the last 15 years, from the Middle East to Europe to Australia, through Central America into the United States, are they bringing these princes with them?
Yeah, and the immigration into Europe as well.
Wow.
Are they?
Go ahead.
they bringing the princes saying, with them? That's a valid question.
Are they bringing them with them?
You know, I mean, there's millions of people. Does Dagon have the ability to follow a million people at once? Yahweh does, but does Dagon? So I don't know the direct answer to that question, but it's a valid question.
I wonder if that isn't part of the Fallen Realm's plan. Yeah. Let's mix everything up with illegal immigration, and it's our doorway into that nation.
It's quite possible.
So, folks, is anybody besides me? I'm not going to get there right now, but real quick. Craig, I got you. I promise you, I got you. Pull up number four, the Mayflower Compact. The first, hang on, I'm going to go someplace else. Get that ready. But I want you to bring up number two, Katie Couric. Josh, I can't remember his last name. Folks, this is what, Powerton, thank you. This is what we're dealing with here, folks. This is exactly what we're dealing with. Katie Couric has a voice to the world. I don't have a voice to the world. Craig doesn't have a voice to the world. Randy doesn't have a voice to the world. Steve Deck doesn't have a voice to the world. But Katie Couric has a voice to the world. And think of the millions of people who watch Katie Couric. Why she's an expert? I don't know. She's famous. Why she's an expert? Listen to what Josh Howerton does here. This is really, really good. Go ahead.
I want you to respond to something that went crazy viral. So Katie Couric had this. This is like exactly the perfect encapsulation of what I grew up high school and college hearing and feeling.
I would love to get your take on the rise of Christian nationalism in this country and around the world.
Talking
the
to
University
professor.
Of Massachusetts at Amherst recently released a poll that shows how Americans are feeling with the 250th anniversary of our
freeze
country.
Does anybody think Katie is a Christian? She's identifying or explaining Christianity for all of us, by the way. Go ahead.
And
happy birthday.
There's a huge divide between Democrats and Republicans on the extent to which the U.S. should be a Christian country. Nearly 80% of Republicans believe the U.S. was founded as a Christian nation.
Correct.
72% believe the government should advocate Christian values.
Correct.
54% believe the U.S. should be declared a Christian nation. And I thought this was really disturbing.
It's very disturbing. It's very disturbing.
Another
Christian
Public Religion
so
Research Institute poll found that 56% of Republicans qualify as either adherents or sympathizers of Christian nationalism.
For people who are listening,
freeze it. She thinks that's bad. She thinks that's bad. See, they give something a term, racist, homophobe, they give something a term, and then they make it whatever they want to. Christian nationalist is now a bad term. Go ahead.
Phrase Christian nationalism, that is 99.9% of the time, it's a scare label that's intentionally designed to stigmatize Christians advocating for their values in the public square. I'll just shoot you really straight. If you put in front of me, and hey man, your two options are atheistic globalism, like woke secular paganism, or Christian nationalism, I'm going to go, well, heck yes, I'm that one. 99% of the time, Christian nationalism is a scare label. It non-verbally says, I, as a secular person, am allowed to advocate for my values in the public square, but you, as a Christian, are not allowed to advocate for your values in the public square because that's scary Christian nationalism. If somebody goes, hey, Josh, you're a Christian nationalist, I'm like, well, I'm a Christian and I love my nation. If that makes me a Christian nationalist, okay, I don't care, whatever. So this is what she's saying here. I want you to know the play that's being run on you. Yeah. People stigmatize to divide is what they're, so let's stigmatize the phrase so that we can keep you from advocating for your values in the public square, which, by the way, we're just going, well, God's commands are not burdensome. That's actually what's good for people,
right.
Societies. So we want that stuff.
What's going on here?
You also can't do democracy without history.
Right,
so those of you,
hang on. This guy's about to give you a big, big lie, and nobody questions it. Go ahead.
That people hold, some of them are views about the past, and they're wrong. The United States was not, in fact, founded on Christian principles in any sense. It's simply not true.
So in 1813,
we're going right into it. Let's go.
Yeah, okay. So John Adams writes Thomas Jefferson a letter, first vice president, second president, one of the most significant, in fact, 250 years that we're celebrating. He's the guy responsible for so much of it. His fingerprints are on almost everything in the American founding. The letter's like 4.5 pages. I just pulled one sentence from it. He says the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity.
That's amazing. The quote from the professor with Katie Couric is the United States was not in fact founded on Christian principles in any sense. That's simply not true. Then John Adams, who founded the nation, is saying the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I want you to respond to something.
Okay. Now hang on. I'm going to get you in here, Craig. I promise. Go to number four. Number four. First governmental document in the New World was the Mayflower Compact. Compact means deal. Mayflower was the boat that came over before they ever got off the boat. In the name of God, amen. Now, does anybody out there question which God they're talking about? I suppose if they were to go back and rewrite it today, maybe they would put Jesus in there. But they knew who God was. The signers, they knew who it was. In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King Jesus, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's organic law. The United States of America was founded as a Christian nation.
Boom.
So now they try to give us Christian nationalism as if it's a whole separate thing you're tracking with me, aren't you? And why is this going on? Look at the signers, by the way. Look at the signers. Hang on. Have an undertaking for the glory of God and advancement of the Christmas faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in New England, part of Virginia. Do these presents, solemn mutual in the presence of God and one another, covenant, and combine ourselves together into a civil politic for a better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by the virtue hereof, do and act, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitution, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, to which we promise all due submission and obedience to the glory of God. Amen. And so they lied to us. They lied to us, tell us there's a separation between the church and state. So we have a nation where nobody shares the common values anymore except tolerance and diversity, and I'm okay, you're okay. But the actual standard of living, of righteousness, is gone. It's gone. To the point where they're calling those of us who believe our nation should represent the founding Christian values. We are now Christian nationalists. As if that's bad. Friends, Christian nationalists founded the nation. You understand that? Christian nationalists founded. It's like now they call you, it's like calling you the N-word. Right? Oh, you're a Christian nationalist. Oh. And the church has bought it hook, line, and sinker. Okay, so I laid that foundation. Because, you know, Mr. Numbers is always all over stuff for us here, right? He's always all over it. We're in a significant time. Times and places are important. I don't study him like Craig does. But he emailed me this morning about where we are. So, Craig, you got 10 minutes, man. Hammers.
Okay. Well, thank you, Coach. All right. What I want to do is I want to address two things. First is my response to Katie. If I had the opportunity, I'd say, is Islamic nationalism okay? Because there's a call to prayer broadcast daily, five times a day in New York City neighborhoods, such as Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Astoria. Residents report hearing Adhan over loudspeakers at each of the Islam's 5-day. Okay. So is Islamic nationalism okay, but Christian nationalism isn't? Why is that not addressed? Now, here's the thing. The gods that you worship over the land will be the gods that are ruling over the land, Coach.
Amen.
That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, you know, repent, turn. He says, I'm not going to heal your people because your people are going to be healed by that. I'm going to heal your land because I'm going to kick the gods out of your land.
Amen.
That's what he did. Okay. Yep. And so this point that Joe Horn and they were talking about, why are we having all this discourse? Who's the mayor coach of New York right now?
Mandami, a communist, Mandami.
Yeah, but what's his faith?
He's a communist. He's a Muslim. Muslim communist.
Well, do you think maybe that broadcast might be changing spiritual forces over New York City?
Well, I'd say so. Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is this isn't a correlation. This is causation. Okay. But the other thing I just want to point out, you brought up the Mayflower Compact. Okay. That compact was reaffirmed by 40 people at the Georgia Guidestones on November 11th of 2020 to the New World Order 10 Commandments, because we who were there all agreed to it. Do you remember that?
I do. Got pictures of it, video of it. Yes.
Randy brought stones.
Right.
I brought 4 laminated copies, weather resistant, of the Mayflower Compact, and I posted it at the 4 corners of the property of the Georgia Guidestones.
That's for sure. I was there and saw you do it.
And I realize I'm doing it, and this is pattern recognition, and this is what we're going to get ready to go into.
By the way, Craig, hang on, Craig. By the way, didn't those things fall down a couple of days later then? I think they did.
602 days, but yep. The point being is I'm trying to bring pattern recognition into this, Coach.
Okay.
I realized that we were sitting there at 50 is a jubilee times 8, which is new beginnings, 8 people on the ark. I realized the significance of being 400 years, standing on a piece of property, claiming Christ. And God did answer. It took him 602 days, but he did answer. What I want to talk to today is, all right, pattern recognition, you know, you teach this to your kids, right? These are squares. These are triangles. You know, does your roof have a triangle on it? Yeah. Okay. It's very important to understand pattern recognition.
That's right.
God runs on his calendar. Today is the 9th of Av. Spencer, could you pull up the thing that I sent you about the 9th of Av? Okay. Can you open that up a little bit? Okay. What makes this the 9th of Av so important is God works on his time frame. And one of the things he likes to do is through pattern recognition, people to kind of say, gee, I wonder why.
Every 20 years, huh? Every 30 years, every 40 years. Every week, every Sunday. Yeah, I get it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, right. So if all your brothers and sisters died on November 11th, Coach, would that stick out in your mind over, you know, it would, right?
I wouldn't get out of bed on November 11th.
Okay, so this is called Tish B'Av, all right? These are the things that God has done over millennial on certain days. The spies come back, right, with an evil report. 10 said no, 2 said yes. Okay, the destruction of both temples almost like 600, 700 years apart. That's pretty important there.
Same day.
You can go down through, we'll just screw through them. The first crusade started, okay? Can you go down, Spencer? Can you view down a little bit? Okay, expulsion.
Craig, let's not lose this. This all happened on the 9th of Av.
In the Hebraic calendar.
Okay,
9th of Av. Let's get confused with the Gregorian. Let's get confused how God speaks.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
So then the Jews get expelled from England, France. Okay, from Spain, 1492. Why is that? That's what Columbus sailed the blue. In other words, before Columbus sailed, he was getting ready to leave, and they said, wait a minute. We got to get the rest of these guys out, and then you can go. This is historical facts. John Bill Federer.
Yeah.
Okay. Go talk to him and say, is this true? Okay, let's go down. What I'm more worried about, and I'm going to go to August 1st of 1914, Coach. Can you go down a little bit further, Spencer?
Number 11 down there, Spence.
It's the outbreak of World War I. So on the Hebraic calendar, the outbreak happened on the 9th Av. Here's where my concern of pattern recognition is going. And I put this in the chat. Aren't we bombing Iran and the nuclear facilities?
Yes.
Didn't Albert Pike say there was going to be 3 world wars?
Yes.
Okay. My concern is to sit there and say, is this pattern starting to come into fruition? Are we going into a deeper level of what's going on over there? All right. And so what I wanted to do is just share that with you. But I want to bring in the Bible to this because I want people to do this on their own. And I want them to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, teach me what Ezekiel is showing. So can we go to Ezekiel chapter 1, Spencer? Maybe New King James, ESV would be this. All right, pick your version. Check 5 different versions. Make sure it comes true. But if you can go to Ezekiel 1. Because what I want to do is I want to show you this pattern of what Ezekiel is talking about here. Okay. Chapter 1 of Ezekiel. Now remember, Ezekiel saw these wheels, right? Okay. Now, when we haven't been taught, and this is the problem because we're ignorant to what we're reading. I was so ignorant until I really said, well, what is it saying to me? And it says it came to pass in the 13th year in the 4th month. Well, what is the 4th month? That is Av, Coach. That's the month that God's in right now, on the fifth day. Well, isn't that interesting? So wait a minute. Get this right, Craig. On the fifth day of Av, Ezekiel has this vision. And what was the ninth of Av, where all these things happened that I just previously showed you? Okay. And if you go, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but what I'm going to encourage you is go read the first five chapters of Ezekiel. And what he saw is he saw these wheels in the sky, right? Wheels keep turning, you know. And what he was given the task to do is he says, I need you to go speak to people. And he says, I'm going to have you speak to evil people, and I'm going to have you speak to your people. And guess what? Your people are a hard-necked people. They're going to refuse it. You're going to speak to the wicked man, and you're going to refuse it. But you know what? The blood of that person, and it actually is reaffirmed in Ezekiel chapter 33:3 about the watchman on the wall, okay, mm-hmm. says, if you do not speak, it is on you. Their blood, even the wicked person, is on you. So read Ezekiel, the first five chapters, realize that this was in the month of Av, and realize what the current events are going on over what Joe Horn was saying. The prince of Persia, which is Iran, which literally, Coach, if you listen to further what that was saying, it literally could be what is considered the angel that presented himself to Muhammad.
Mm.
It could be the worship of that angel. This Islamic religion. And we could literally be fighting in the spirit, but in the physical, on what's going on right now.
Mm.
So that's a ponder point, and that's all I had to say. I'll take any questions if somebody has a question.
I'm just pondering it. Right? See, folks, again, unless we understand that there is a war in the heavenlies, we're not going to understand what's going on. There's a war that the devil runs an offensive unit. The devil runs offense. Not real good on defense, but he's really good on offense. And unfortunately, we have not recognized that Satan uses principalities, powers, rulers of this dark world. He uses human beings to do his dirty work. Now, Craig just exposed something to us here, that it's on a time schedule. It's on a time schedule, right? You guys know when the first day of spring is? Sure you do. First day of summer? Yeah, you know when it is, right? So these dates have meanings. New Year's Day, Christmas Day. So Craig's telling us this pretty significant time we're in the spirit realm.
Well, the other thing I want to bring up, Coach, because this will be a little bit more reality, you know, for people. Remember when you went to the Ohio town? Remember all these immigrants started coming in?
Yeah, that's Springfield.
Right, okay. Yep. And all these birds were going missing and all this stuff.
They were
killing these birds in blood-bright sacrifices over the land to worship.
Yes, they were.
And when you go back and you read Psalm 2 all the time, it says, and why are the nations raging? Why? Because we are bringing all these foreign God spirits over this land. Go back to the Mayflower Compact.
Yeah.
Why has God had providence over our country? Because we came into agreement that we were going to claim this in victory for Christ.
Yeah, but because the separation between the church and the state, they tell us, right?
Well, if the nation is doing so well, why does everybody say we're in bad straits?
That's right. So can two walk together lest they agree? So if there's a separation between the church and the state, which means morality and state, let's be honest here. Church and state means a separation between morality and
church. Let's call it Christ. Okay, because this is the whole thing about the 250th anniversary of the Illuminati's plans over the federal government. Okay, it's God. Okay, no, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who indwelled human flesh through Jesus Christ, his son, who was died on the cross, buried, rose again for third day. That's who we worship over this country, and that's who we pray for providence.
JT, come on in, JT. See if you can make any sense of it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you know, when a, if you go back and see the pattern that what Craig was saying in Israel, when Israel go in and conquer a land, sometimes they would have to conquer the spirits over that land.
No kidding.
So the United States, when they went into Iraq, where is Iraq? Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went in and started destroying and causing a hornet's nest into the Babylonian demon of Iraq,
amen.
And we kind of sort of defeated them. Guess where those demons went when we left with us?
They came home.
So those principalities and powers now established ourselves in New York City, because it wasn't too long after that they decided that we're going to raise a tower to Baal in New York City.
Yep.
We are going to light up the White House or the Statue of Liberty with Kali, the Indian god of death. Yep. And so you see the pattern that we see. And so now we're engaging. I don't think we, the people that's in charge, maybe except us, but you got the principality of Persia that Daniel fought with. Michael the Archangel and Daniel fought back in the book of Daniel. And so we're now fighting this thing.
Can anybody give me the first commandment? The first commandment. Does anybody know what it is? Come on, somebody out there, help me out. What's the first?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So if there aren't any other gods, why would it even be mentioned at all?
Craig, I hate it when you do that. So we're violating the very first one. The United States of America, founded as a Christian nation, now has other gods before him. That leads to judgment, in the way I see it. Dave Allison, come on in. Thanks, JT.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Great topic, great conversation. The issue I have is the God is respecter of no person, and we're trying to make a particular geographical piece of property, some attaching a spiritual thing to it. But really, the spirit is not attached to the land; it's attached to the people.
Amen.
We have to understand the difference. And even in Joe Horn's presentation, in my opinion, there was a form of deception there. He tried to present the fact that that the land of Gaza is an evil spirit, and the land over Israel is the spirit of God.
Right.
And that, in my opinion, is absolutely false teaching. So the deception is off the charts here. We have to really be careful what we're hearing, both sides.
Who told you that, and why do you believe it, right? Folks, listen. What we have been taught is so important. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? Because Dave is saying is Joe Horn is saying something that is really kind of a Christian theory as if it's fact, right? So his religious perspective belief now paints everything he sees. They call it dispensationalism. They call it put all kinds of names on it. And all those different names talk about something different happening, all of them being interpretations somebody got out of the Bible. And I promise you, Joe Horn, I don't know Joe Horn. I would imagine he's a dispensational rapture guy. I'd imagine. And so it paints everything he sees. Go ahead, Craig. Your hand's still up.
I'm going to push back against my brother Dave in respect, okay?
All right, yep.
And I will put in the chat so people can follow along. When Joshua conquered the land, there were three areas that were not conquered. Okay, they did not conquer it. And he says, you know what? This is going to pester you for the rest of eternity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the question would be is that wrong? Okay, yes, this is a battle because it's a battle over the earth. And you know what? Where it started in Egypt and all these places and Mount Hermon, where the watchers came down, which just happened to sit where the Golan Heights are, which just happened to be where parts of these tribes are, where this land is important. It was important back then. It's important today. And they're fighting over that land. Yeah. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think it's holy or not, from your I respect anybody's position on it. But from my position, it's as important as you fighting for sky high if someone came in and usurped it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? If someone can usurp it from you and your family, then guess what? You're not so powerful after all, are you, Coach Dave?
No, I'm not.
That's what's going on in the principalities and spirits. Okay. You know, God, you can get all this stuff here, but you can't get these people to do that over there. Yeah. They laugh and mock. That's what Moses interceded when God said, when he came down in the tablets and he threw them down, he says, I'm done with these people. I'll start over with you, Moses. And he said, Lord, if you do, the 10 gods of Egypt are going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh. You can't get these people up to where you're doing. So I would disagree retrospectively, and I will put the information in the chat for people to digest.
I don't know if you disagree. I'm not sure that was a disagreement. I'm sure it's a disagreement. See, the problem comes is Christians don't agree. There's divisions within Christianity. That's the problem. And, you know, you take a guy like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is about as dispensational as they come. So is Mike Huckabee. And I'm not here to say whether they're good or bad. That's not the point. They are directing our foreign policy. A dispensational belief that Israel's God's chosen, Jews are God's chosen people. I'm not here to argue back and forth. That is their position. And by the way, that becomes the position of our government. That's what I'm trying to show us here today, right? And what? Principalities and powers. Kings of this earth set themselves. Rulers take counsel together. Folks, this stuff is all supernatural, beyond what we can. It's not just Republican, Democrat. It's not just politics. Something deeply, deeply spiritual. A war going on in front of us that the average Christian, including me, does not fully understand. Joseph, come on in.
This is just a question for somebody who's been over there in that sandbox. What if we didn't go to Iraq? What if we left Iraq alone and see what would happen over there? To a lot of us that was there, we saw that Iraq kept Iran at bay. Kept everything at neutral over there. But United States has to go over there and destroy Iraq and take it over.
Why do now, we have to do, Joe? Why do we have to do that? Because they bombed the towers.
Right. Supposedly.
Come on. You're big boy and big girl out there, huh? They bombed the towers, so we had to go get them. They bombed our towers, right? Those daggone Muslims and those airplanes, they bombed our towers. Let's go to war in the middle. Come on now. Mark Trump, one in.
Yeah, I'm going to continue what Joe's saying. I was in Naples, Italy, when Hussein invaded Kuwait and all of that, you know, all of that attack and all of that began. You know, what would have happened if we hadn't been there? Well, I'll tell you what wasn't there before we got there. McDonald's. Okay, there was no McDonald's. There was no capitalism. The Dubai in the United Arab Emirates had one building, Coach, one. And it became the Disney World of the planet. Okay? After we did that. So it would make you think cause and effect. They needed the towers in order to have the reason, in order to build capitalism in these countries. So now we got Iran and Gaza and all these other places. Trump's a businessman. He's making deals. He's moving capitalism into these countries.
Mm.
But he's using the American military machine to do it with Israel. And then who's in charge of the money in the new countries? Isn't it Israel?
It's always follow the money, isn't it, Mark?
Follow the money. You know, you go back to the founders. Weren't they Masons? Weren't they all Masons? So you look at the signing of all of these documents, only a couple weren't. You know, so you look at the founders, it all goes back to the same group of people, even before the founding of America, Coach.
Well, Mark, let me throw this one in here, folks. What does God say about usury? Usury. Somebody Amen. Just put it. It was George McCoy put it. User. What does God say about usury? Interest. Interest. Is God for interest or not for interest?
No.
Not for interest, right? And so ask yourself this. Think of the interest we are paying on printed money that has no value at all, driving ourselves into bondage of debt that's not even really debt. Are you with me, folks? And the struggle going on, gold, silver, oil, all those other things that have really intrinsic value. They really have intrinsic value. But if they can control you financially, you personally, if they can control you financially, they control what you eat, gas for your car, where you live. If they can control all that, how much you have to pay. Think of the interest. I was just doing this the other day, by the way. Think of the interest you pay, the usury you pay on your mortgage. It's staggering, right? Something God spoke directly against. So how about we get away with the, get rid of the Federal Reserve and interest-free money? Just barking. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I want to just go back to what Mark and okay, these guys that actually went over there, Coach, all right, who sent them over there to begin with. I believe that was on September 11th of 1990, about the New yep. World Order speech by George Bush, who was part of Skull and Bones, 322, John Kerry, and all the other stuff, okay?
All right.
So that war precipitated 11 years later, you know, September 11th.
Right.
When the Twin Towers. And then Benghazi, when they sent the, that was the buckshot to get Islamic groups through the Arab Spring, who Obama mm-hmm. was a Muslim.
It's all about money. It's all about
right.
money.
Well, right. These are long-term plans, and I'm giving you a quick thing to it. But what I want to tie into something is when, okay, we're talking about principalities and powers, right? You right. know, there's a reason why veterans, 22 veterans, kill themselves every day. You know why? Well, one, that's 11 times two. But those guys walked over the land and picked up those entities and gods because they had open doors. And they haven't had the deliverance. Oh, they go to psychology and they do all good stuff. But the problem is psychology doesn't remove an evil spirit that you picked up when you walked over the borders of Babylon. They walked on Babylon, Coach.
Yep.
Nimrod, the Euphrates River, where there's four angels buried underneath it, right?
Boy, oh boy. Oh boy.
But nobody goes, let's get these guys spiritual help. Let's get them deliverance so that they don't kill themselves. And a spirit comes to them and says, you know what you did to them kids over there? You're
yep.
not worthy.
Yep.
You killed a bunch of kids over there. You blew up people. You did this. That speaks into their mind every day.
Amen. Wow. They call that, what do they call that? Not battle fatigue. You guys know what I'm talking about. Somebody's trying to get in.
Wow. Yeah, Coach, I'm on my phone. I'm on my phone. I'd like to make a talk.
Oh, it's Randy. Okay, go ahead, Randy.
Okay, Coach. So this is my issue today with globalism and sovereignty. Okay, globalism or nationalism. Okay, if we would get back to nationalism, nations instead of globalism, empire building. You know, if we get back to that, we would have a lot less issues with what Craig's talking about with, you know, with the demonic realm here. That would really, a lot of that would take care of itself. Of course, the fear of nuclear makes this not want to happen. Right. But if you see what's happening, the big picture, Coach, right now, you see the East and the West. You see the West nations that are a Rothschild controlled, possessed, evil empire. Right. And we're yep. part of it. We're yep. part of it. We're breaking the covenant to be part of that, okay? Individually, nationally, both. Okay. So, but Coach, you see the BRICS nations who are not really God Christian nations, but yet they're honoring a financial system that says we want to base our economy on real money, gold and silver, instead of interest, instead of a system of money that is what came back from Babylon and Israel began to do and use and the love, and that's, and God hates that. Okay, so as a covenant person, not even talked about a covenant nation yet. Let's talk about covenantally. If you break God's financial principles, even though you're a Christian, okay, we have a covenant, the new covenant in Christ, right? Yep. But God says if you break it, it's no different even under Christ now than it was before Christ when it was just, you know, Yahweh. Okay, if you break the covenant, God says, I cannot bless you. In fact, I'm going to bring judgment on you. Okay, so individually, Coach, if we're going to recognize and participate and practice in the usury system, the financial system, God says, boy, my covenant blessings, I don't know how I can hand those off to
Amen.
You. You're in that. So here's my point, Coach. The nation is doing that too. See, what Mark's talking about, the capitalism, the empire building that's going on right now, it's about East and West. It's trying to get who can be the strongest. It's about world power. It's globalism. We have to get our nation back to a sovereign nation, especially under Christ and a covenant nation. And that's my message, Coach. And, yes. And if the person can't see it, then they don't get it. They don't understand that. They're just going to carry on and keep denying themselves covenant blessings. That's what we're doing, Coach.
That's what we're doing, man.
As our nation and individually, we are denying God's covenant blessings over our homes, our families, our lands, and everything because we're breaking the covenant.
So, Randy, we love to hear everybody talking about the covenant that God has with Israel. Does God have a covenant with America? Is Jesus Christ's covenant less powerful in America than what it is in Israel? Let me ask you a question here. Come on now. Did Israel make a covenant with Jesus Christ? Did America make a covenant with Jesus Christ? Yeah. Folks, those aren't the same. Those aren't the same. It's deep, man. What we're dealing with is deeply, deeply spiritual. And the problem we end up in my not so humble opinion, is the whole world, all creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for God's church to quit hiding and God's church to come out and reestablish itself as the pillar of righteousness and the pillar of truth, and the foundation upon which all of the government's going to be founded. See, when they told us there was a separation between the church and state, they said that because they knew how powerful the church was. They knew how powerful the church was. They had to get the church out of politics. And now we got pastors saying churches aren't supposed to be involved in politics, played right into their hands. We elect evil men, expect them to do good. It ain't going to happen. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Look around. The heart of America, Christian America, is poo-poo. The judges wrote Christianity and its blessings out of the American Constitution. The churches in America today don't care about influencing all the world, which begins in America. I said to Ray LeBlanc, as he's going out today holding a sign, and Betty's out holding a sign, do any other pastors come and join you? No, because they are escapismists, if that's even a word. They're selfish in their desires and their beliefs. It's about me and my and I and us. It's never about go. It's never about teach. It's never about any of that anymore. They told us there was a separation between the church and state. Five judges told us that. We said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, master. Yes, master. And then we sit here today still under that false premise that there's a separation between God and morality. How stupid can we be? They slaughter millions of God's little image bearers, and the church doesn't care.
Boom.
No, it's no more complicated than that. That's the way I see it. See you tomorrow.